Very thankful for those thoughts that Brother Joe has given to us this morning. That message is personally very convicting to me because I need to do better at forgiveness. And I think about, you know, what people call the Lord's Prayer, that, you know, the prayer the Lord gave the disciples: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The one thing in that prayer that he goes on to expound on afterwards is forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's at the heart of what it is to be a child of God. To be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is a way of forgiveness. Jesus' statement on the cross at Calvary, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was forgiving people who weren't asking for it. He was forgiving people who didn't deserve it. And certainly we ought to go and do likewise. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 144th Psalm. I'd like to notice some things here with you this morning that I believe, you know, where Brother Joe started about, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." Notice the last verse of Psalm 144, verse 15. It says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Now, I would think that everybody here wants to be happy. I mean, maybe some people like being miserable, but I'm not one of them. I want to be happy. I believe that all of you want to be happy. I believe that is something that this world pursues after, is happiness. In fact, we in the Declaration of Independence says that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that doesn't mean we're chasing happiness. Pursuit there means occupation. That's your occupation of happiness. But what this world will tell you that you need to get in order to be happy will not bring happiness. World will say, long life, youth, power, riches. That's what you need to be happy. No. I don't find that the people that have those things have the happiness the world thinks they'll have. But you know, the Bible tells us how to be happy. I mean, the Bible has a lot to say about happiness. The Bible will teach us how to have a happy life. Brother Joe started Psalm 146, verse 5. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." The Lord's helping you. Even the Apostle Paul says, I've made it up until this day because God has helped me. Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy 33 that they were blessed in Israel and they were happy because God had saved them. The Bible tells us that wisdom brings happiness. The Bible will tell us that keeping God's law in Proverbs 20:19 brings happiness. The Bible will go on and on about what it takes for a child of God to be happy. Keeping God's law, doing what he has to say, that's where the happiness is. Jesus himself in John chapter 13 says, "Happy are you if you do them." Do what? Well, he had just got through washing the disciples' feet. He had just got through telling them some things that they ought to do. And he said you'd find happiness in doing them. You know, those that were baptized in the Bible, it talks about they going on their way rejoicing. I'll tell you, there is happiness found in doing what the Lord would have us to do. But in this verse, Psalm 144, verse 15, it says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case." The people that are in this case are happy. Well, what case is that? Well, we read the last verse. I'd like to back up with you to verse 11 and see what case brings happiness. Verse 11 of Psalm 144, he says, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood." You know, sometimes happiness is found in getting away from certain people. You know, some people will get you irritated. I remember there was there are these shows that come on Sunday morning, which I don't watch TV on Sunday morning. I certainly don't need my head getting in the wrong place on Sunday morning. But I record some things. We have a DVR at home, and I would record some things, and I'd watch them later. And I realized that every time I'd watch those things, I'd get real irritated. I'd get real upset watching those things. I stopped recording. I stopped watching them. You know, there's certain people you've got to get away from in order to get in a happier place. Well, in this case, I want us to consider, here in the house of God, the context of the verses that we're reading to you. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. Strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity. People that you get around that they're always speaking in a vain way, a proud way. Get me away from people like that. And whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Not only they speak in vanity, they're lying to you. Oh, he says, get me away from people like that. I'll tell you, here in the house of God, we don't need people standing behind this pulpit who preach heresy. That will cause unhappiness. That will upset the flock. People who are speaking falsehood, something the Bible doesn't teach, is false. People who are speaking vanity, rid me from these types of people. Get me away from these types of people. And I'll tell you why it's important for us to make sure that's the case in our day and age, is what we're about to read. Notice what it says in verse 12. That our sons, talking about our children, may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. I want us to consider that we need to consider the next generation. And he describes our sons, our boys, as plants grown up in their youth. I want you for a moment to think about what it takes for a boy to grow up to be the kind of man, the godly man that the Bible instructs us to be. And we've known good godly men in our life. Good godly men. How do you get from point A to point B, from a boy to that condition? He describes them as plants. Plants. And I'm going to tell you, some people have a green thumb. I'm not one of them. You want a plant to die, just send it home with me. It won't make it. I remember one time I went to Brother Clem's house, and he was showing me some plants that Sister Essie Reed had planted. And he was criticizing her and saying, hey, that ain't going to do no good. That thing's going to die. And boy, that thing, man, she's got a green thumb. I can tell you that for sure. She can take a dying dead plant and all of a sudden it's flourishing. I don't know what she does. She waters it just right or what she does, but whatever she does it right. When it comes to our boys, our sons, they're plants, tender plants. Don't think of them as just a field of crops that you kind of take up care of all at once. They're individual plants that must be nourished and cherished. And Jesus himself was described in Isaiah 53 as growing up before the Lord as a tender plant. Tender plant. Our boys, it says, they be as plants grown up in their youth. You know, it's a great blessing to see a boy in the house of God who has an interest in the things of God. And not just an interest that he is diving into the Word of God and trying to be the kind of man that the Lord had to be at an early age. You know, Brother Burles here, he could tell you about some people who started preaching in their teenage years. He could tell you about people he saw growing up. That's a great blessing to see that. Growing up in their youth. You know why that's important? Because the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, it's good to bear the yoke in your youth. Bear the yoke in your youth. That's when you need to bear it, but you can't bear the yoke until you're ready. Until you're ready. Turn me to Psalm 128. And what I mean by ready is what he says here in this 128th Psalm. He says in Psalm 128 verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor in thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Again, he's talking about happiness, blessing. Verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Look at that description. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. You think about a fruitful vine providing fruit. You know, a vine doesn't have the strength of a tree. It needs support. And I'll tell you, a husband needs to support his wife. He needs to be there to support her. But she's a fruitful person, a person who is, in this case, that fears the Lord and walks in his ways. He talks about your children are like olive plants round about your table. Sitting down at a meal, your children are like olive plants round about your table. Oh, what a blessing to sit down at a table like that. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 127, happy is the man that has his quiver full of children. Children like olive plants round about your table. Just think about an olive plant for a moment. One day you hope that olive plant will become an olive tree, producing olives and olive oil and all the things that comes from that. We don't have a whole lot of that here in Southwest Mississippi, but we just have to use our imagination. But a child going from an olive plant to an olive tree, just think about the similarities. A child has such hope for the future, such promise. What will their future contain? I trust that we as parents have a vision for what we think it should contain. That should be based on what the Bible says. But olive plants that can produce the fruit and the fruitfulness, it takes strength to go from a plant to a tree. But notice he says, our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, able to bear the yoke because they've already grown up. Our sons may be able to do these things in their youth. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Apostle Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth. What's it like to be, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 years old and have a 20-year-old preaching to you? It'd be real easy to say, oh, you young whippersnapper. You ain't lived yet. You don't understand. But I'll tell you, if that young whippersnapper's preaching from the Bible, it's written by someone who does understand. And that should be met with respect. Let no man despise thy youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, he says here in verse 12. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Now it describes our daughters. That they may be as cornerstones. Any young lady that is seeking to be a godly woman, there is a place for you in the house of God. And it's important. Notice he says, our daughters may be as cornerstones. Cornerstones. If you have ever done much building, that corner is awfully important for how the whole rest of the building is. You think our daughters, are the sisters here in the house of God, are not important? They are very important. Cornerstones. What a blessing it would be for our daughters to have such an important place here in the house of God. Cornerstones. I think about, you know, how he says here, polished after the similitude of a palace. You know, if you polish something, you get the rough edges off, don't you? When you polish something, you don't add anything to it. You take some things off. We are all sinners by nature, and there are some things about us that the edge needs to be taken off. This world needs to be shaved off to be polished. And if that's going to be the case, turn me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to notice with you what he says here about this. And 1 Peter chapter 3, he's addressing the wives, tells them to have chaste conversation coupled with fear. And then he says in verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but it let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now notice what he says here. It'd be real easy for our daughters to put the emphasis on the outside. But really, what does he say the emphasis should be? It should be on the inside. Let it be of the hidden man and that which is not corruptible. Notice the polishing, the removing of what is there to revealing the beauty that's beneath. He says, let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. You think, you know, sometimes we think, well, because I'm not saying anything, I'm not important, or I'm not doing anything. I tell you, you don't have to speak up. You know, the life we live, the kind of life we live, speaks volumes more than we could ever say. The way we go through our life, if our daughters go through life in a meek and quiet spirit, I tell you, in the sight of God, that's great price. I was at a church the other day, and they were going to have communion after lunch, and we were all sitting in there eating lunch, but where I was sitting, I could look on into the church building, the way the building was set up. And I looked, and there was this one particular sister. She was in her 20s, and she was setting up that communion table, getting everything ready, getting everything set up. And then here she comes with a load of cups that they had run out, and she was bringing more from the storage room. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, I ain't heard her say one word since I've been here. I never heard her speak up one time. But she was very meek and quiet and just working. And I thought, look at her. Look at what she's doing at such a young age. That a young lady like her would be so involved in the things of God. I'll tell you, the sisters are a blessing here. And not just here, in the home. You turn me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I want to notice with you what Paul tells Timothy about this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says in verse 14, he says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Notice what he says for the young women to do. To marry, bear children, guide the house. I'll tell you, there's some things that I didn't really fully understand until I got married and we had children. You know why it's so important that you pick out a woman who is a godly woman for your wife? Because they are the ones that are going to have the greatest influence on your children, guiding the house. They're going to be the ones that are bringing up your children and teaching them things on a daily basis while you're going to work. They're going to have the greatest influence on your children. I'll tell you, here in the house of God, I think about all the sisters down through the years who've had an influence on my life. I'll even to this day, what a blessing it is here in this place, in this church, and we're going to go next door after this service, and we're going to eat lunch, and you're going to see some sisters that are working. You talk about a cornerstone, they're going to be over there getting all that food ready. And when we're done, they're going to be coming with their water and wiping the tables down. There's going to be work being done. Our daughters to grow up, they've got great examples here in this place. Tell you what, in Titus chapter 2, he talks about the older men teaching the younger men, the older women teaching the younger women, and that's not something we have to sit down and have a lesson about. They should just watch your example. Here in this place, our daughters, may they be blessed to be cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. You know what a palace is? A place for the king. A place for a king to find refreshment. A place where all your treasures are. A place where the king enjoys his place. Oh, what a blessing for our king, the king of kings, to come to this place and see polished, lively stones here in our daughters. Verse 13 of Psalm 144. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. I tell you, when it comes to the house of God, we want our garners to be full. You know, a garner was a place where you stored things, like maybe you stored your corn or your wheat or whatever the case may be. Here it says that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. You know, I've visited some folks, some of my kin folk before, and we go to their house and we'd stay with them, and we look in their refrigerator and there's nothing in it. I tell you, it's slim pickings around some places you go, but here in the house of God, we need to have our garners full. And when the people come to the house of God, what do they find? They find grace. They find love. They find peace. They find forgiveness. They find all these things here. Our garners are full. You know, God is rich in mercy. God is rich in love. God is rich in these things. We need to also be rich in these things. Our garners may be full. Our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. In our streets. You know, it's important for our children to be in our streets. Not in the streets of the world. Not in the places outside. There, you know, it's a sad tragedy in the house of God when people go somewhere else and that's where their children grow up. If we're going to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we need to bring them here to our streets. What a blessing it is to see the abundance and the multiplication of God's sheep here in our streets. Verse 14, then our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in, nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Notice he says that our oxen may be strong to labor. You say, well, what does that mean? We don't have oxen. Turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to notice something with you that the Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth in quoting the Old Testament law, and explains why it's there in a New Testament way. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. He says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Now notice he finds a place in the law where it says, don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. That means don't keep him from eating. When he's working, let him be able to reap the blessings of his labor. What's the reason? Did God take care for oxen? Why did he put that in the law? Verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now notice very carefully, Apostle Paul called himself an ox. He takes what God wrote in the Old Testament law, applies it to the New Testament church, and the church taking care of the preacher. He says, we've sown unto you spiritual things. Is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? Is it a great thing for you to take care of our needs? You to look after us if we've done this for you? Is that a great thing? You know, if the minister is the ox, I want to notice something with you in Proverbs 14. That he's the one as the beast of labor. He's the one that is laboring with the plow. And in Proverbs 14, he says something very important here in verse 4. We may say, well, we don't really need a preacher. We can just go on our own. Well, notice what he says here in Proverbs 14, 4. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. You know what you need out of your ox, out of your preachers? You need them to be strong. He says, much increase is by the strength of the ox. You say, well, Brother James, better go hit the weight room. No, not that kind of strength. don't need physical strength, you understand. But you need to understand what weakens the preacher. You need to understand what strengthens the preacher. And I'll tell you what weakens the preacher is when people are indifferent towards the things of God. What weakens the preacher is when people don't come to the house of God when he spent, oh, so much time laboring and getting ready. That weakens the preacher. When people have no care or concern for the things of God, that weakens the preacher. When the preacher preaches things that are very important for people to do and they just ignore it and do whatever they want to, that weakens the preacher. I tell you, there are things that weaken the preacher that we need to stay away from if you want this to be a place where our garners are full. But the things that strengthen him. Oh, the things that strengthen him. Oh, word of encouragement's wonderful. a question about what you've been studying in the Bible. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, when you see God's people living what the Bible tells them to do, following the things of God, oh, that strengthens and encourages and keeps the things going. I'll tell you, as we mentioned on Wednesday night, the wonderful blessing of having good deacons that help support and lift up the preacher to keep his hands fixed towards heaven, as we mentioned on Wednesday night, all that helps. Oh, that's a great blessing, a great help for him not to carry this burden alone, that he might give himself to the ministry of prayer and the Word of God. Notice here in Psalm 144 what he says here. He says that our oxen may be strong to labor. It's a work, it's a labor. And they must have the strength to be able to do it. Then he says that there be no breaking in, nor going out. You know, there are enemies trying to break in. I tell you, we are under attack. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. That there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in the streets. Do we have anything to complain about this morning? You say, well, I've got this pain. I'm sure that's difficult. You say, well, so-and-so didn't treat me right. Well, Brother Joe just told you about forgiveness. Let's practice that. Say, well, this ain't going right or that's not going right. Let's take a minute and stop. And a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we selected a song that really stuck with me, and it's Count Your Blessings. You know, when I sang that song, you know, a thought occurred to me, I've never stopped to write down my blessings. And so the very next day, after that Wednesday night service, I did that. And it took me no time to fill up 2 pages. I mean, I just kept going and going and going and going and going. And if we stop and count our blessings, what is there to complain about? Yes, we have problems and troubles, but it's nothing that's too hard for the Lord. Let's stop and count our blessings. And in this text where he talks about no breaking in nor going out, I want us for a moment to consider, if we're soldiers in the Lord's army, when I was in the Air Force and we got ready to march, we had to organize ourselves by height. We had to spread out to the side, to the front, make sure everyone is in the right place. And when we march, sometimes, I would look at some of these other guys that were marching and I'd think, look at that guy, that's a joke the way he's marching. When you were marching, your head wasn't supposed to go up and down, you're supposed to glide. I said to this guy over here, his head's going up and down. I think, that guy, he is a joke. And I start looking around. Next thing you know, I'm out of step and I'm in the wrong place. You know, if you're going to march, you need to be looking at the captain, not one another. Sometimes we get to look at one another too much, but who we should be looking to is the captain. If we're going to be in line and in rank and doing what the Lord should do in the disciplined way, we need to be looking to the Lord. Not so much at one another and their faults and their failures and what they're doing wrong. Let's look to the Lord. No complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Imagine being in a place where there are no strange children, where our sons are grown up in their youth like plants, our daughters polished cornerstones, that our oxen are strong, our garners are full, and all these things are taking place. I tell you, there's happiness in such a case. If we want to find happiness, it's happiness in doing what the Lord would have us to do. It's not in the knowing, it's in the doing. Brother Joe mentioned forgiveness and the burden that's lifted up with forgiveness, lifted off of you. Oh, I tell you, there's happiness in forgiving. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that's repented than over 99 just persons. There's rejoicing in heaven. There should be rejoicing in our heart. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Not serving idols. Not worshiping themselves. Their God is the Lord. You want to find true happiness. You want to find this happiness. Then may we do as the Lord has instructed us to do in His Word. I thank you for your good attention this morning.